Curating Boise is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Welcome to Curating Boise, the podcast that celebrates the hustlers and the shakers, the ones that took the short route of being their own creative boss right away, or the ones that left their corporate jobs, like me, your host, Catherine Wojcik. Hey, good morning, everyone. I say morning because it is Wednesday morning, 10 a.m., outside of my usual Monday 4 p.m. slot. So clearly, I'm not drinking beer this morning. I did have a lovely cappuccino, though, across the street at Negger Coffee, which there are a couple that I'm going to lasso into being on my podcast. I checked with them when I first started podcasting, and they were getting ready to have a baby. So that kind of put a kibosh on having them on as a guest, but we'll soon get Grant and his wife Zoe on here soon. So this morning, 10 a.m., a little early for me as far as like chit-chat goes. But when I made the reschedule from Monday, because I was in Salt Lake City spending Mother's Day weekend with our middle daughter and her new husband, Nate, I rescheduled to Wednesday because I was going to be home Tuesday evening for 10 a.m., but I kind of forgot to schedule a guest. So it's me. It's just me plus me plus me. So we'll see what I can get through today. I was tempted to cancel, and then I decided that this is kind of a personal challenge too. I guess talking for, hopefully it's only 30 minutes. God, if I can sit here and talk for 45 minutes, Lord help me. Anyway, well, we're going to shoot for 30 minutes of just some kind of chit-chat. I think I'm going to maybe bop in between Savoring Sweet and Sandwich Sisters and Son. I know I had a podcast called Origin Story, and that was with my buddy Jay of Painted by Jay. And he asked me a few questions, I guess kind of like how I got started in different things and I guess the family dynamic, like support-wise. But I'm going to touch on just a couple other little things with both of the business that might be of interest. But yeah, so here I am this morning. You know, I kind of did some Googling, like, should you go solo on a podcast? Solo versus guests and so forth. I guess I was really in my head about it. And I realized going solo probably isn't such a bad thing, you know, as long as it's only happening once every good handful of episodes. I would not want to do this on a regular basis. I have great admiration for the people that are doing solo podcasts. They must be extremely, I don't know, organized maybe. Yeah, you know, I feel like you have to have a good solid page of what you're going to talk about when you're going solo. I also listened to a couple solo podcasts last night. I was really doing my homework. I was really, really freaked out about this solo thing today. My friend Annie, she's new into town, but she owns Skin Owl. She has a podcast. I think she's got, man, I think from what I saw on Instagram, because I was trying to look her up on podcast, but I think she's like 137 episodes. Is that even possible? I think it is. I'd have to find her again, but she does a lot of solo. She also does a lot of guest speak, but I was listening to hers and it inspired me. So I didn't cancel on the guys, Travis and Ryan. I figured, might as well go in. So normally I'm their only one at the end of the day, but it looks like I might be their only one at the beginning of the day. So maybe they can take off and go to a brewery or something and get drunk. We'll see. We'll see what they do. Anyway, so as you all know, I own two local businesses. I have Savory and Sweet Inc., which focuses on charcuterie boards, boxes, and grazing tables. And I also own Salvage Sisters and Son, which focuses on vintage goods. A lot of people walk into that brick and mortar and say, what exactly do you do in here? Even though there's a lot of old workbenches and old garage tools and just a lot of old stuff. And I say, well, we sell vintage goods. And then they immediately go, oh, so you deal in antiques. That's a pretty common thing that people ask us. I always say we don't really do antiques, even though there are some things in there that are up over 95 years old. I view antiques as kind of like Victorian dressers or Edwardian style furniture, things that are very heavy and very polished and very ornate. We are not that. We deal with old workbenches, shelves, wood shelves that have cubbies. The more cubbies, the better. We have a lot of smalls. We're usually looking for galvanized items and whatnot, ladders, tools. We always found ourselves kind of moving out to the garage of an estate or the farthest building away from the main house. And my son and I, we started this business quite a while ago. Now, let's see, we're in 2021, 4, 5, 6, probably 8 or 9 years ago. We started really picking together. All the kids are really into vintage and garage sales and estate sales. And, you know, they're also hooked on the good find. So he and I started out and... you know, we were really collecting a lot of it on the side of mine and my husband's house. Because my son was like, oh, no, I live with roommates. I can't have that stuff over there, Mom. They won't like that. So let's just put it pile on the side of your house because, oh, yeah, Dad and I really want that hanging around. Anyway, so one day I just noticed how much stuff was there. And I told Chaz, I was like, dude, we've got to, like, figure out what to do with this. Either we have to have, quote, unquote, a yard sale, or we need a balls up and actually commit to a flea market. So that's what we did. We did a local small flea market, and it was like $40 for the spot, which was amazing. And we set up our stuff. We really curated it up. We had a vintage camping theme going at that time for our first sale, and it looked pretty good. I was very impressed with us. We did so well that we were motivated to do it the next month. So we signed up and we were hooked from that point on of doing flea markets. And we soon had a nice little following. We really prided ourselves in finding things on the cheap. And we really enjoyed passing that on to the people that admired the things that we were picking. So while we wanted to make money, I guess the goal back then when we first started was we want to sell all of our stuff. We want to be able to pay ourselves a little bit for our time, you know. So maybe we gave ourselves $125 each. We were pretty excited about that. And then we took the remaining money and we put that right back into junk finding. And we were going out to as many estate sales as we could possibly find. While our jobs would permit us to. So we did a lot of that, and that just kept going. We did so many flea markets. It was such a rush, too, to do that. I mean, if you're a junker, you know that adrenaline rush. You know the feeling that you get when you find that epic find, and you're like, oh, my God, fuck, we're going to be able to sell this for a mint. And a mint to us might have been... we found a really rad workbench for like $35 and we're going to turn around and flip it for like $385. To us, that was great. That was really, really good. Now I think we find things that are a little bit better. Maybe we're a little pickier. I don't know. But, you know, I don't think we really haven't sold many items over eight. Where the things we find are real vintage rustic, you know, machine shop wear stuff. So not everyone wants a really super cleaned up workbench that might have been caked with, you know, a quarter inch, a half inch of grease. I don't know. To me, that sounds really cool. It would make an awesome island of some sort in kitchen or something in your house. It doesn't necessarily always have to be tossed back out into the garage. But anyway, that's you know, that's how we got started with Salvage Sisters and Son. And, you know, we were doing these flea markets and whatnot, and we were always thinking, like, where can we find? Because we did have a lot of friends that, you know, we would get super jealous of, because we'd see them on these great finds and we're like, where the hell are they at? Well, our bell got rang one time because my son, Chaz, had the opportunity to go and pick the Los Angeles Herald Examiner building in downtown LA. I think it was on 11th Street in downtown Los Angeles. And it was started and owned by the Hearst family. So the Hearst Corporation owned this building. And a couple of the Hearsts, I wouldn't know exactly who their Chaz would know, but they were the godmother and godfather of one of Chaz's really good friends, Doyle. And Doyle had talked to his dad, because his dad was like the, I don't know, I'm probably going to like slaughter all of this. He was like the building or project manager guy, you know, since he knew the Hearst family. And he was, like a building renovator. So the building had been sold and they were going to gut it and reinvent it into something else. At the time, it was going to be like maybe a brewery here or there and a bakery and some eateries and whatnot, you know, which, you know, you find those in pockets like Seattle, Portland, downtown LA, you know, those cool little, you know, like Grand Central Market or Pike Place in Seattle, those types of things. And that's what they were thinking of doing. And so Doyle's dad was like, yeah, let Chaz go in. I happened to be gone at the time. So Chaz got to go pick the Herald Examiner building. And we got some amazing, amazing things out of there. We got really, really old. Chaz has some great pictures. He had a couple of lockers that had old vintage pinups in them. We had old ladders, workbenches, carts, smalls, things that said Herald Examiner. But we just got our hands on some amazing loot in there. And honestly, there was so much stuff that we just couldn't get out of the building because they were so far down and the stairs were insane. And, you know, we're just a two-person show. So we just couldn't do it. And he, at the time, you know, he was like super grateful that he had got a chance to go in there, but didn't want to ask to have to keep going back. And I get that. But we ended up with just a ton of stuff. And so once the word got out that we had this epic pick, we were at a flea market in Fullerton, California, at the college there, University of California, Fullerton, I think is where we were at. We were doing a flea market there, and the word had got out that we were going to be having some of those pieces with us at that show. And this older gentleman walked up and said, you know, started asking some questions, and we're giving him the background of the pieces that we found, what they were used for and whatnot. And then another person walked up with a camera, and they asked if they could interview us for Antique Trader magazine. So we had an opportunity to have some pictures of the items that we picked. I think there's a picture of me and Chaz in there talking about the pick at the Herald Examiner. So that was kind of cool. You know, Savory and Sweet has been in some, you know, local zines here in town. But to be in the Antique Trader, which goes all over the country, that was pretty cool. So we snagged ourselves a good handful of those. I think we need to repost those pictures. I was trying to go through it, scrolling through the Instagram. I didn't see anywhere where we actually had posted anything about that. It might have been on a story. I don't know. I was so new to Instagram back then. It was all I could do just to throw any old picture up there. But yeah, so that was kind of cool, the Antique Trader magazine. It was a lot of fun, so that was a good pick. We've been on some other really super gnarly ones. We did this one out in Anza, California. There must have been, oh my gosh, 10 or 12 outbuildings. There were hundreds of people at the sale. We got there really early. Anza from Redondo Beach was a good hump. It was a couple hours at least. We took off. We went. We plotted our, you know, what we were going to do. And we split up. We both went to, you know, the farthest outbuildings. But, oh, my goodness. We had workbenches. We had lockers. We had galvanized. We had tin. We had signage. We had cubbies. We had so much stuff. And then, you know, even though we had all of these things, as we're paying for our items and we're seeing the other people walking up with the items they have, it's like it wasn't even enough for us to have our pile. We wanted everything else that everyone else had. So we're trying to make deals, trying to buy off the other people. I mean, you just get, gosh, you get so crazy with it. It's, I'm not kidding you. The rush of the pick is pretty intense. I yearn for that. I find myself, you know, even though I'm so grateful and I feel like Savoring Sweet is very successful in the Treasure Valley, I love curating the boards and the grazing tables for clients. I really look for unique things to be on those tables. I find myself, though, really yearning for the adrenaline rush that I get from the picks. You know, the old barns, the old homes, the abandoned places, the stories with the old men and women that have those goods. That's the kind of stuff. It's like that stuff's it's diminishing. It's going away. Buildings are being knocked down daily around here for brand new homes, which totally sucks. So trying to preserve that old and salvage it and bring it to the shop so that other people can appreciate it and use it for something different or even for the same use as what it originally was created for, that's just something that, I don't know, I think that it's great satisfaction for sure. Although, I don't know, making a bomb-ass grazing table for 200 people is also quite satisfying. That's quite a feat in itself as well. But I, you know, just finding those really unique items and at least being able to stake claim that you had something really cool. It's like my friend Eric Bill was saying, when he finds a pair of old buckleback jeans or, you know, an amazing biggie jacket or something, you have it and it's just the idea that you had that even though you still don't have it in your possession. So I look back through our Instagram all the time and I'm like, fuck, God, I missed that workbench, that, because our motto was always, whatever we find, we're finding it to sell. I think maybe Chaz has one or two things and I might have one thing. I have a recent workbench in my backyard right now, but for the most part, we don't keep anything. So it all goes back into the flea markets or back into the shop, you know? So anyway, I was also, when I was at Necker, having my cappuccino with my lemon ricotta bread, which, my God, was delicious. I was looking through the Instagram, and I was looking at my bakery in Redondo Beach for Savory and Sweet. We had this idea that in one of the corners, we were going to have Salvage Sisters and Son. Because we not only did we want to be out there for flea markets, but we thought, oh, how fun that people could actually shop vintage. Because there wasn't anything like that down there. So we curated this really amazing corner. And my biggest client for that little corner of Salvage Sisters and Son was men. Because I guess coffee and old ladders and saws and shit went together. So it was amazing. The guys would come in and order a, you know, large coffee and a couple of scones and, oh, hey, I'm going to grab that ladder. And out they'd walk with the ladder, their coffee and their scones. So that was our first Salvage and Sisters and Son, if you will, brick and mortar in the corner of Savory and Sweet's bakery, which I don't even know. Insane. Anyway, it worked. It looked really cool. We had some great pop-ups at that first little location. Now here in Boise, we have the brick and mortar for Salvage Sisters and Son, and Savory and Sweet has sweets in the shop. Now that went away with COVID. You know, the shop wasn't open, and then when, you know, I was able to get the shop back open for Salvage Sisters and Son, didn't seem very smart to have, you know, open sweets in there. So there'll be a time, I think, when I bring that back. But for now, no, we just have coffee in the shop. And Salvage Sisters and Son is growing. We're taking over the next door shop that is next to us. It's a little bit smaller. It's probably about, our shop is about 825 square feet. That one's probably about 700, but it's going to be amazing. We're going to go through the common wall and just make one whole giant shop. It's going to be wonderful. I'm really looking forward to that. So everyone will need to come down and check that out. So let's see. That's a little bit on Salvage Sisters and Son. Savory and Sweet is its own beast. I decided, oh gosh, 2 or 3 years ago now, that there are a lot of really good caterers in town. And, you know, I had done the plated service. I did buffet service, of course, family style service, which I still have a couple of that on my calendar this year for weddings. But I was finding that I just wasn't into that kind of service as much anymore. I don't know. I just felt disconnected from my clients because I was always in the, you know, in the kitchen, and I had my forefront, you know, person, my, at the time, go-to gal was Trisha. And I just wasn't connected to my clients like I wanted to be. And with all the other great caterers in Treasure Valley, I was kind of like, maybe I need to find my own niche. Well, I really found that I was enjoyed putting together charcuterie boards, and there wasn't anybody in town specifically dedicated to that. I mean, everyone had their version of it. I love referring clients to Wild Plum. They do a nice charcuterie board, but it's not like their main focus. And other places have, you know, their little versions of it. But I thought, why not just focus on that? So that's what I did. I decided to go ahead and focus on charcuterie boards and boxes, and took it even further to grazing tables. And I love it. I love trying to find that unique item that can go on there and set the board or the box apart from someone else in town. I was offering delivery service for a while, and that was great. I was able to kind of get that going and deliver and still be able to open the door for Salvage Sisters and Son, because I'm just a one-person show for both of those. While it says Salvage Sister and Son, the son isn't local, so it's just me. But everyone started ordering. The delivery and the boxes and everything just took off so crazy that after a year and a half, 2 years, I finally had to eliminate delivery service because I just couldn't do it all. And it was really difficult to find someone to deliver boxes for me. So that's kind of off the website. Local pickup only at the shop. That seems to be working pretty well. I don't know. I got to figure that out, though, for delivery. I mean, people are willing to pick it up, their boxes up and their boards up. I get it. It's kind of nice to have things delivered to your doorstep as well. Grazing tables are a wonderful way to feed your guests for any kind of gathering. I do have a 35-person minimum on that. So, you know, a lot of people have parties for 35 people. Of course, weddings and receptions, bridal showers and whatnot. So that's kind of where I am. That's my lane with Savory and Sweet. I also, you know, do some shows like Farmhouse Collective, which is going to be on June 4th and 5th. That's in Bruno, Idaho. I have my spot there. I'll have some small vintage items peppered in, but for the most part, I'll be there with my Savory and Sweet charcuterie boxes, the individual size ones. So I do events like that. I do provide a lot of the individual boxes to small businesses in the Treasure Valley. you know, if they're doing gatherings and they want to still kind of keep it social distanced and COVID friendly. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's sustaining everything, you know. I'm booked every weekend, and it's difficult because I like to say yes when people hit me up if I can do a box or a board for them. But honestly, if I've got like two weddings on a Saturday, it's really hard to squeeze in boxes and boards. And it's my hope that people will understand that eventually. It's real difficult. So, you know, I have to, you know, put the dates up that I'm unavailable, and people still reach out and ask if I can squeeze them in. And I try, but, you know, in doing that, it really taxes me, I think, more mentally. So I start getting, I'm sure understandably so, you know, uptight, nervous that I'm not going to be able to provide the quality that, you know, I want my products to show. So if you ask me and I say no, please understand it's simply because I know my limits. And speaking of limits, that's why I had to start taking Sundays off. I was working 7 days a week and I needed to have one day. You know, back in the day when, you know, I was raising my four kids and working my engineering job and whatnot, you know, I used to always avoid the word stress. I never wanted to say, I feel stressed, I'm stressed. I would maybe say like, gosh, I feel a little tired, or I would tend to use the word overwhelmed, which still, I don't know if that's a great word for myself. But we didn't have back then, like, the word, you need self-care day. So, I don't know, to me that was a vacation day, and I literally was home with four kids. But I wasn't in my job. So we took like vacation days for that. We didn't have anything called you need a self-care day. And I think that's great. I think now, you know, the way our society is, I think self-care days are wonderful. I don't personally use that term. To me, you know, my self-care days, I guess, are just home, relaxing, you know, putzing around in my yard, binge watching Netflix if I want to, you know, taking a drive to Idaho City with my husband or whatever. But I need that Sunday. So I've given myself that day off, and I don't take any jobs. The only job I'll take on a Sunday is like a big wedding. That's a very special occasion. But like the box orders and whatnot, no longer on Sundays. Just can't do it. I need to be with my family just as much as everyone else does. And I think small business owners, we get, you know, locked into, you know, we're small business owners. We got to work. And yeah, we do, you know, because we got to get our name out there. We're not, you know, Target. We're not called Best Buy. We're small business owners. But I really believe in taking a day. Otherwise, you're just not going to dig it as much as you used to when you first started. At least I know that for myself. So, yeah, savory and sweet, Salvage Sisters and Son. That keeps me going here in this Treasure Valley. And you might see my little tiny truck. I have that little white Suzuki tiny truck that drives around town. Sometimes it's loaded up with so much stuff, and I'm whipping around downtown because I got to quickly go grab some florals at the wholesale florist too. So you'll see my little truck buzzing around full of junk. You'll also see me across the street from my shop on Broadway, the car wash, where I wash all of the stuff that I find and then let it dry out on the sidewalk and get it in the shop for people to come and look at and purchase. So yeah, I don't know what else to really talk about. Talked about, I'm kind of all over the place. Salvage Sisters and Son. Epic Picks, savory and sweet, charcuterie and cheese. I gotta say, with that, I never thought how sought after that would be. I mean, I think people really like charcuterie and cheese and crackers and dried fruit and fresh berries and nuts. I mean, I do too, but holy cowboy. So it makes me really happy every time I get an order, and the support is crazy. I know that charcuterie, cheese, and junk don't seem like they go hand in hand, but they both work different parts of my brain, I guess. And I like that I have that diversity. I also like that, you know, I did have a career in the past as an engineer, and that I raised four kids, and that, gosh, my husband and I are going to be married 37 years this August, and he and I have been together for 40 years. So I feel like I have a lot of nice accomplishments. Four wonderful kids, one that's recently eloped, one that's Reed, her and her partner, Carrie, are getting ready to elope, or they're trying to plan their wedding, but I think they're going to end up eloping. So two elopements, and then Chaz and Mindy are engaged, and they're planning their wedding, I believe. No, thank you, Mexico. And then Reagan and her partner, Julie, her girlfriend, they're just living la vida loca, I guess. Two 24-year-olds doing their thing. They live in Salt Lake City, too, where our middle daughter, Taylor, and her husband, Nate, live. So, yeah, I feel accomplished. I feel good where everything is for me here in Boise and my husband. And yeah, I guess I don't know. I'm going to look at my phone and see how long I've been talking. I've been talking for a while now. So I think I'm going to call it good. It's Monday morning. I've got some things I need to dash off to. I do hope you guys kind of found a little bit of what I talked about today remotely interesting. I hope I wasn't causing you guys to drink. I hope I was, hanging out with you while you guys were enjoying your morning cup of coffee. So anyways, thank you again. We're listening to Curating Boise. You can give us a listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Give me a review. I think I have a few reviews out there, but it'd be nice to have more. And follow along. Hit follow, and you'll get the little notification when a new episode comes out. So cheers, and thanks for listening. Hey, thanks everyone for tuning in. Hope you guys like what you heard. If you want to listen to more episodes, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. To see how I'm doing my part in curating Boise, check out my Instagrams at SavoryN, that's the letter N, Sweet Inc., and at Salvage Sisters and Son. Tune in next week. Peace.